Matthew chapter 19, and I think of that.
Now, listen, don't get crazy on me with doctrine, all right? I'm just saying, there's some days you're saved and you're going along and it's just like, Lord, I want to be closer to you. I want to be more, maybe ran away from the Lord a little bit and I just want to be more like you. That's what Christian means, Christ-like. And all right, very good. I appreciate that song. It's always a precious song. Matthew chapter 19. Next week we will be back at our regular schedule and 10 o'clock. We have adult Sunday school and junior church going on, and then 11 o'clock we'll be at worship service how it is right now. All right, we're good. Matthew chapter number 19, we'll start in verse 16. We'll read about 10 verses and then we'll pray. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Which is a true statement. If you can keep the commandments, if you don't sin at all, sure, great. And he saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man lieth and saith, I'm sorry, I added that word. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Let me just help you. We're all sinners. Not one of us has kept all the commandments. That puts us in a bad way. What do I need? I need the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says this, the young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus saith unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need your help again here this morning. And God, I've asked you so many times before, but God, I ask that you would do it again today. Lord, please help. Lord, I don't ever want to stop asking you for help. And Lord, we just need you here. And Lord, I pray you'd use your word in a powerful way. And God, that we would help, that you would help us see you for who you are. And God, just what a great God you are. God, we'd be appreciative when we leave here of our salvation and encouraged to serve you with our life. Lord, help now. We need you. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. A story that has been repeated over and over again, not just because it's in the Word of God, but because we see this over and over and over again. People come to the Lord and say, All right, what do I need to have eternal life? All right, you need to humble yourself before God and come to Him. I'm not ready to do that. Pride is a great barrier between man and God. And that is a true statement. As we continue the passage, it doesn't just end there. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's a true statement. Not that it can't happen, but it's hard. And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceeding amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? If that is the criteria, if that is the example that you gave us, can anyone be saved? And he said, look at verse 26, But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Man, praise the Lord. Well, there are some things that only God can do. Now listen, Acts 4:12 reminds us, Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ is the only way. And only God can save a man. Yeah. Only God can save a man's soul from the payment of eternal damnation called hell. Yeah. Hell's a real place. Real, if we could open up this and see it, look down and get a vision of hell for a moment, it's a real place. It's not just some figment. It's not just some where they play the music you don't like or surrounded by people you don't enjoy or have to eat the food. No, it is. The Bible describes it as eternal torment. It's a real place. And only God can save a person from that place. But listen to this. Not only can only God save a person, God can save anybody. Amen. Man, that's great news. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whosoever. Romans 5:20 says this, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound." Say, what law? How about we just start with the Ten Commandments? Let's start going through. Let's start reading one by one. I could probably, if you gave me just a couple minutes, prove to you that you've broken all ten. But the Bible says if you offend in one place, you're guilty of the whole thing. "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound." But listen to this great news. "But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound.
Thank you, Lord.
That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by only one name, Jesus Christ, our Lord." That's what it says in Romans 5, verses 20 and 21. So yes, only God can save us, but God can save anyone. And this morning we're going to look at some names in the scriptures proving this, proving that God does the impossible. Say, what is that? Saves men. Saves men and women. When I say men, I mean mankind. He saves us. Can a rich man hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven? The first person we're going to look at, Luke chapter number 19. Now we're going somewhere with this, so just hang on, all right? We're going to look at some examples. There's 2 points to the message this morning. That's dangerous, but I'm just letting you know. There's some sub-points. I'm just warning you. Listen, we didn't have Sunday school. Does it feel weird? Like, I don't know. It just feels weird not being at Sunday school and then just coming right in. It's just like, you know, you just jump on the track that's already running. And anyways, so we got some things to cover this morning. Say, are you combining class? No, we're just going to look at the scriptures for a little bit. All right, Luke chapter number 19. Hey, if you came to church to get out of church, man, you're at the wrong place. All right, I'm just warning you. All right, Luke 19, we're told about a guy. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans. Look at what it says. And he was rich. I want to see how the Lord interacts with him. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was, praise the Lord, a little of stature. Hey, this morning I saw our choir and I saw Mrs. Parrott standing here, and I don't know if they did it all, but you start at Mrs. Parrott and you end with Mrs. Hannon there, and there was just kind of a nice little, anyways, okay, very good. And a little stature, where's Jay? Where's Jaden? Is she in here? All right, very good. All right, we got it. Little is much when God is in it.
Amen.
And verse 3, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because a little of stature, and ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Hey, this rich man, this publican, hated amongst his peers. Why? Well, he was a tax collector for Rome. And he just wanted to get to Jesus. And he couldn't. Because obviously, here we are in Luke chapter 19. So much has happened. No matter where Jesus went, it was busy. And Jesus came to the place. And he looked. Can you imagine trying to get to Jesus? Jesus pushes through the crowd, goes and stands at the bottom, like a hound dog looking up at a raccoon in a tree, just kind of looks up at him and he says, Jesus came to the place and looked up and he saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Why was he going to Zacchaeus' house? Did they have a meeting? Did they have an appointment? Was there something on the calendar? Because God knows those that are trying to get to him. And it's amazing that when we have a desire to get to God, it's amazing. I would say he meets us halfway. It's not even close. I take but a half a step and boom, he's there. Man, I'm thankful for that. Hey, you search after the Lord, it's amazing how he comes looking for you. And he made haste and came down and received them joyfully. And when he saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. This man doesn't have the best reputation. Zacchaeus will say otherwise, but this is what was spoken of him. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And he said unto him, "This day," look at now, "this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." Hey, God can save anyone. Here we start off with Zacchaeus. Say, how would you define Zacchaeus? The Bible says he was rich. And just in the last passage that we looked at in Matthew chapter 19, it says it's hard. And the very first part, hey, I don't care where you're at here today. Well, I'm poor. We're going to see that. I'm rich. I'm a leader. I'm this. I'm that. I'm no good. No matter what the gambit is, no matter what the range is, I'm here to tell you, everybody needs to be saved. And God can save anyone. Well, I'll just... Now, there was a man that sought for Jesus. Hey, are you looking for the Lord this morning? I don't think you're here by coincidence. There's a lot of places you could be. There's a lot of nice diners. I could give you a lot of recommendations. But you came to the church house. Why'd you come here? Maybe you're looking for Jesus. Luke chapter number 23. We're going to go to the other end of the spectrum. Luke 23. Christ is being crucified. The one time in your King James Bible it uses this one word, Luke chapter number 23 and verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. Luke 23, 32. And then we're to come to the place that is called Calvary. They were crucified. There they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Hey, when Christ died on the cross that day, that wasn't the only cross. As you drive out every week or drive in every week, however you come in, and you see the three crosses off to the side. Why is that? Because Christ was on the center and there were two men that should have been there on either side. Say, what do you mean should have been there? Verse 39, it tells us, "And one of the malefactors which was hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" Can you imagine Christ hanging on the cross in the middle, a man nailed to the cross, and they're having a conversation with one another. The one guy says, "Hey, if you're really who you says, say you are, hey, can you get us out of this?" And the other says, "Don't you know who you're talking to? Look at verse 41. For we indeed justly." Hey, we belong here, he says. "For we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." Hey, there's two criminals on either side. And the one says, "Hey, if you're really who you say you are, why don't you get us down from here? Why don't you set us free from this?" He was just looking for a ticket out. And the other one says, "Don't you know who you're talking about? We belong here. We were guilty. The man in the middle, he's done nothing wrong." Look at this. "And he said unto him, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Hey, God can save anybody. Say, what do you mean? Well, he can save the rich Zacchaeus, a publican, a tax collector, hated amongst his peers. But he can save a man hanging on the cross, guilty of his crimes, right next to him. Man, isn't that amazing? What a range of impact. Here he is, the criminal, putting his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Some of the most impacting services that I've seen in my life, some were in the prison when we used to go to Buffalo Federal. I remember the first time we came in, and I was kind of new to it, and Brother Lauk had been doing it for years and years, and went in there, and I'm like, how's this go? He goes, well, I'm going to do singing, and we'll talk a little bit, and then you preach. I said, okay. And there the guys come in their jumpsuits, and you're just kind of looking at all that going, what? There should be more guards in here, is what I was thinking. And they're all out on the other side of the door, and they're just talking. They're using this as coffee time, and so there we were, and it's so echoey, and it like hurts your head to talk. It's if you've ever preached in the gym, it's worse than that. And you're in there, and you're talking, and you're saying words, and it's coming back to you, and you just pour out your heart and what God says, and God can save an old sinner like me. And man, that first time preaching there, saw four or five guys come and talk to Bill after, and they wanted to get saved. It's like, what on earth? It was the criminal. Yeah, God can save them. God can save them. Hey, there's ministries all throughout from coast to coast here that reach out to those that are in a tough way in life. I'm thankful for that. Hey, maybe you met the Lord in such circumstances. May I encourage you, hey, change your life around. Get right. But man, what a blessing to know that God can save anyone. Acts chapter 13. A criminal. Acts chapter 13. There's going to be some names in here that we don't hear often, and do your best to follow along. We'll just look at six or seven verses. Acts 13, verse 6. Who did we see? We saw Zacchaeus, the rich man. We saw the thief on the cross, the convicted criminal, both be able to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 13, verse 6. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country. Now, here's the person I want you to pay attention to. Sergius Paulus, a prudent man. What does prudent mean? It means that he was cautious. He was practically wise, but he was very careful. That's how it defines him. Maybe even to the point of, may I say the word, skeptical. Yeah, I was around the things of God, but I want to see some stuff before. And they called for a man, called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. So we have the sorcerer and this deputy. And Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. So as Paul and Barnabas are talking to, we'll call him Paulus, Sergius Paulus, as Barnabas and Saul are talking to Paulus, the sorcerer comes by and he's kind of standing in the middle at the crossroads of his life, if you will, and we have the sorcerer over here. We have Paul and Barnabas over here. And he's leaning this way. And hey, the things that you're saying are starting to make sense. And they're opening. The Bible says the word of God. And the sorcerer's like, oh, no. Come here. Let me show you some things. Let me show you some magic tricks, if you will. This world will, pull you away from Christ using smoke and mirrors. Tony, it's just a trick. And Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set eyes on him. So here's Sergius Paulus talking with Paul and Barnabas, the sorcerer over here. Paul looks that way at this guy and says, O full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness. I love how Paul just is so delicate with his words. Like he's just gentle. He's just tolerance of, no, he's not. He calls it how it is. Why? Because there's a soul at stake here. And he's seeing it, and he's watching it play out, and he's like, hey, you have nothing to do with righteousness. You have nothing to do with God, and he calls it out just for what it is. Thou enemy of righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind. Boom. Not seeing the sun for a season, and immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking him to someone to lead him by the hand. Could you imagine this, the scene? Say, what does this look like? Brother Van's out there on the street. He's got a sign. He's telling someone about Jesus. Here come the Mormon missionaries. And they're like, hey, listen, you shouldn't really be talking to this guy. Come listen to us. We'll take you out for lunch. We'll do all this kind of stuff. And Brother Van looks at the Mormon missionaries and says, hey, you get out of here. You're no good. Actually, I want you to be blind. And boom, all of a sudden they're wandering out into Main Street. Say, that's craziness. That's exactly what happened. See, stuff like that happen these days? I don't think people can call blindness on others. But that's what happened here. And look at what the Bible says. Then the deputy, say, who's that? Sergius Paulus, when he saw what was done, believed, astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Say, what is this then? We had the rich man, we had the criminal. Who's this? This is the cautious one. This is the skeptical one. This is the one that comes into church going, there's an agenda here. They're trying to get my money. They're trying to get, no, no, no. It's all about you and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing. And if you're here today and you're just kind of, well, let's see how this goes. I'm all in favor of being prudent. But when the Lord speaks to your heart, I think it'd be wise to move. Yeah, he even reaches the cautious ones. You know, ever talk to someone, Jacob, and there you are, maybe this isn't you, and they ask for advice, and you start giving them advice, and then they question your advice, right? I mean, that's kind of what's happening here. Sergius Paulus is coming to Paul and Barnabas, and they say, I want to know about the word of the Lord, and he starts talking to him, and he's like, and this guy starts pulling him away. I would get frustrated if I was Paul and Barnabas. Hey, listen, we're talking to you. Listen, this is the truth. You know, sometimes people come to the Lord and they're just doubting God himself. I don't know how he done just strike them dead by lightning right there. Look at all I've done for you, right? My love, my grace, my. But he doesn't. He's gracious, thankfully. And yes, he can even save the cautious one. He wanted to see the work and what was going on, but he was all too careful. Be careful that your cautiousness not prevent you from coming to Christ. Acts chapter number 8. Here we're going to have a leader. Again, we have the rich man. We had the criminal. We had the cautious one. Next, we'll look at the leader. Acts chapter number 8 and verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and would come to Jerusalem for to worship. Hey, this guy is, to say a diplomat is an understatement. This guy's really in charge. He has great international authority. And there he was, returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. And he reads this, and then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. I think it was Thursday night. We were out for coffee, and there was a couple guys, and they had a books that looked like this. And there are two middle-aged men sitting off to the corner, and they had a book, and the one guy was reading, and it looked like this. My curiosity got the best of me. I had to go introduce myself. And so I go over and I'm like, hi, what are you guys reading? I said, man, I just want to tell you what a blessing it is to see two grown men sitting in a coffee shop reading the Bible together. And the one looks at me, he's like, it's not the Bible. I'm like, oh. Now you're in an awkward position, Mrs. Dickinson. Here I am commending these two young gentlemen for studying the scriptures together. It wasn't that. It was an AA book, and they're helping each other get over addictions, which great. I praise the Lord for that. And I told them, I said, you know, the Lord can really help you with that. And I didn't want to interrupt anymore. But that's kind of what's happening here. Here's the Ethiopian eunuch. He has part of Isaiah. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before her shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who should declare his generation, for his life is taken from earth. It's talking about Isaiah. He's reading a portion of Isaiah, but it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ some 700 years before that. And this guy's reading it going, I don't understand this. In verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself? Is this Isaiah or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Jesus. And as he went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Well, there's a big prerequisite to baptism. Say, what is that? Belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered, listen to these sweet words. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hey, our world is upside down. I'm not sure if you've noticed it. I think everything's going great. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. Both sides agree it's not going great. Say, why is that? Because men are ruling things outside and contrary to God's word. That's what's going to happen. The greatest thing that could happen is a bunch of things like this. Ethiopian eunuch, a leader, if you will, of a country. Now, I understand he was underneath Candace the Queen, but he had great authority. And the greatest thing is for dignitaries to get a hold. Imagine people in Russia or Ukraine or all over the world, if they said this, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What would change? Imagine the head of Iran or Iraq searching out the truth, stands up and says, I believe that Jesus Christ, and we are going to no longer be enemies of Israel, but friends. Brother Parrott, that would turn this world upside down in the good, I guess. What does this world need? It needs the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, no, we need to be more conservative. No, we need to be more liberal. We need to give more money away. We need to take money. There's got to be a balance in between. Know what it needs? It needs Jesus. What can God do? Only God can save. But I'm here to tell you, God can save anyone. He can save the rich. He can save the criminal. He can save the cautious. He can save the leader of a country. Our last person that we'll look at here this morning is he can save the antagonist. Who's that? The greatest vocal piece contrary to the ways of God that we have in the scriptures. Say, who is that? Go with me to Acts chapter number 7, just a chapter back. A man by the name of Stephen is preaching. He preaches Jesus Christ. He takes Israel and he leads them through the gospel and he leads them to Christ. And at the end, in verse 54, it says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up, this is Stephen, the preacher, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes. This is the person I want to draw your attention to. Hey, if God can save this man, he can save anybody. I'm here to tell you. He laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. This is our first introduction to Saul. First time we were introduced to him, we might have seen him before. Say, how so? There was a lot of Pharisees that questioned the Lord Jesus Christ. None given by name. But this man was zealous for the things of the law and the things of Israel. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not the sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. There they brought that dead body before Saul. And hey, look at what we got. We did what you told us to do. In chapter 8, we're told more about the Saul character. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church was at Jerusalem. Hey, the fact that you live godly and there's persecution for that, that's no surprise. Here we are a year, maybe 6 months after Jesus Christ died, buried, and rose again, and there's a great persecution going on. That's nothing new. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into, again, underline this word, every house, and hauling men and women, committed them to prison. The Bible describes Saul as one consenting to the death of Christians, going house by house. Hey, word is that there's Christians down this way. Reminds me of Nazi Germany. There's Jews up in that house. There's Christians over there. I believe there's some believers over there. All of a sudden, Paul and his entourage would be knocking at the door, hauling out men, and the Bible says women, to imprison them, to kill them, to persecute them, to torture them. Acts chapter number 9. Acts 9 and verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desiring of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if be found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. The project was going so well in Jerusalem, he got word from the high priest, I can go to other cities and do the same. And we will bring them back here, and we will make a public display of them. We will imprison them. We are going to shut this thing down. He got the okay. There he was. On the road to another city called Damascus, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly, ever have the Lord change your plans? Oh, yeah. Ever go in life and when you thought you were the furthest from the Lord, you didn't realize, but you were actually quite close. And God had been tracking you, and man, at your lowest point, God just showed up in your life. Well, Saul was on his way to Damascus to do what he had just done in Jerusalem, and the Lord showed up. And he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Those are probably the greatest questions that you could ever ask. God, what do you want me to do? Hey, young person, I'm telling you, constantly ask the Lord that question. God, what is it that you want me to do? Fathers? Mothers? When was the last time you asked God, what do you want me to do? And then listened. It wasn't like, hey, I'm going to the store. Is it okay, God, if I go to the store, I'm going to do it anyways. Can you just bless it? No, this is, God, really, what do you want me to do with my life? And then when he tells you, do it. Rise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by hand and brought him unto Damascus. That whether the Lord blinded him or the light was so bright, whatever it was, but for 3 days he was without sight. In Acts chapter number 21, Paul tells this story. In Acts 21, starting in verse 40. One of the greatest antagonists for Christianity comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe your life has been vocal against the things of God, and yet you find yourself listening to the Word of God today. Maybe you're watching online and you're listening to the Word of God being preached. And you've been vocal and you've been against the things of God. Maybe not to the, certainly not to the degree of Saul. The Bible says in Acts chapter 21 and verse 40, and when he had given him license, Paul stood up on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when they were made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, so Paul gathers everybody together. Men, brethren, fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. When they heard that he spake in Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia. Yet brought unto the city at the feet of Gamaliel. We've seen Gamaliel back at Acts chapter 5. And taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. This is Paul speaking of himself, sharing his testimony of how he came to the Lord. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding, delivering into prisons both men and women. Hey, if there was a guy that you would say, no, we don't want him in. The Bible says he caused havoc. We've seen people die at his hand. He's going in and taking innocent people out of their homes. All of a sudden, there's little boys and girls that have no mommy and daddy because they're in jail just simply for believing the Lord Jesus Christ. Heartless. If there's a person that you ever think, no way, this person cannot be saved. They're just too far gone. They're just too much an enemy of the things of God. May I remind you of the life of Saul. Also, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. It came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus, about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell on the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. As you follow the life of Paul from Acts chapter 9 up to this point, he is later led to a man by the name of Ananias, and Ananias takes him in, and Barnabas, and the encourager, and he helps him. And not too long after that, he's preaching the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, God can save anyone. He's the only one that can. But he saves the rich. He saves the criminal. He saves the cautious. He saves the leaders. And he saves the man that is vocally actively the greatest adversary to Christianity at those days. God can save anyone if you're here today. And I just have faith. I just believe. If there's not been a time, a place, when you've not put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ only, completely and only, to save you from your sins, today's the day. I don't know. There's no, say, well, I'm too far gone? Hey, don't let your riches come in between you and God. I'm too wicked. More wicked than the man on the man next to him on the cross. I'm too in charge. Ethiopian eunuch humbled himself. God can save anyone. What that ought to do in our heart? Hey, I got in. I was 10. I was little. But it just made sense to me. It honestly was, I think I told you last week, it was honestly what I was looking for. Heard the gospel for the first time. It just made sense. I put my faith and trust in Jesus, and I'd like to say no looking, turning back, but, you know, went through the teen years or whatever, and here we are. But if all this is true, it's not good just for you and I. But we got to take this message to other people. Do you ever walking down the street or walking in the store and you think, is the cashier, oh, no, they're probably, maybe they look a little different than you. Maybe they talk a little different than you. I'm glad Philip didn't go, whoa, whoa, whoa. You're Ethiopian? Sorry, don't deal with those kind. No way. No way. Is there ever an apprehension between you and the person that needs the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, they're too wealthy. I'm nervous about talking to them. Hey, they're too in charge. They're too big. They're too wicked. Too young. They're too old. Mrs. Dickinson, tomorrow, you know where we're going tomorrow? We're going back to Hilton East. First time in 3 years that we're going to be able to have service at Hilton East tomorrow. And every Monday thereafter. Man, I am beyond excited about being able to have service at the nursing home again. I walked through there, I talked to the receptionist, and then we talked to the rec person, and there they were, some of the same people. Spend 3 years in a assisted living. You never know, right? And tomorrow we're going to bring the kids. We're going to sing. And oh, no, no, they're too old. No. Yeah. If God can save anybody, and he's the only one that can, we better introduce them. We better introduce them. It's our job to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Say, Pastor, you said you had 2 points. Tonight, we'll do point number 2. Say, what about John? We'll put John on hold for a minute. Tonight, we'll look at point number 2. Not only can God save anyone, listen, I want you to come back tonight. God can use anyone.
Amen.
Let's all stand. We're going to look at some characters tonight, but all that being said, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, say, what does that mean? If you were to die today, do you know for sure that you'd spend eternity in heaven? So how would I know that? Because God promised it. If you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you repent of your sin and turn to the Lord, ask him to forgive you, you know what he will? He'll do that. If you're here today and you've not done that, how about this? Nobody looking around. No one looking around. Say, what does that mean? Just put your head down, close your eyes for a moment. I'm just going to ask you a question. If you know for sure that you're saved, without a shadow of a doubt, if today was my last day, in 2 hours I'm going to take my last breath, I'm going to cross over into eternity, I know where I'm going. If you know that, because of what the Bible says, can you raise your hand and say, I know that, praise the Lord. All right. Excellent. If you're not sure, If you're not sure, I want to do something a little different here today. I just want to pray for you. Say, Pastor, would you please pray for me? I have some questions, I have some doubts, but I would like to maybe know more about that. Would you just pray for me? I'm searching for the truth like that first person, Zacchaeus. I'm trying to get to Jesus. I just don't know how. Would you please pray for me? Anybody like that here today? Uplifted hand. Nobody's looking around, just you and me. All right. Appreciate your honesty. Third and last question. If only God can save, but yet God can save anyone, I need to be more faithful with my witnessing. Anybody, their heart touched like that here this morning? All right, hands all over the place. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation. Whatever the Lord touched your heart about. Hey, if you're here this morning, say, I was too nervous to raise my hand about being lost. I'm not. Would you talk to me after service? I sure would love to talk with you. But maybe the Lord touched your heart about being a little more bolder for His sake. In a moment, the music's going to play. I invite you to come forward and come to this old-fashioned altar and talk to the Lord. Say, God, if you're really who you say you are, and only you can save, and you can save anyone, Lord, help me to be a faithful testimony, a faithful witness, and tell others. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless this time of invitation. Lord, I'm encouraged by reading these verses. Lord, it just stirs my heart, reminding me, God, just how wonderful you are, that with you nothing is impossible. Lord, I pray you bless the time of invitation now that you'd be honored and glorified. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning? Amen.